rapid coordination. Foreign Ministry and UN Women launched study app for Indonesian migrant workers. Now the news in detail. President Prabowo expresses condolences over Pope Francis' passing. Indonesia's President Prabowo Subianto expressed deep condolences over Pope Francis' passing in Vatican on Monday, April 21st. In an official statement on the same day, Prabowo remembered Pope Francis as a global role model who sincerely championed the values of peace, humanity, brotherhood. He also recalled Pope Francis' visit to Indonesia, which took place just about half a year before his passing.
Dunia kembali kehilangan sosok panutan yang memiliki komitmen besar.
The world has once again lost a role model deeply committed to peace, humanity, and brotherhood. Pope Francis' visit to Jakarta last year left a profound impression, not only on the Catholic community, but on the hearts of all Indonesians.
Tidak hanya di kalangan umat Katolik, namun di hati seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
Prabowo also praised the values consistently upheld by Pope Francis, such as humility, solidarity, with the poor, and compassion for others. Qualities he believes will remain an enduring example. As Minister Sugiono conveys condolences. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono, Monday on 21st April 2025, expressed his condolences on the death of Pope Francis. He conveyed this on the sidelines of the 2+2 meeting between Indonesia and China in Beijing, China. Sugiono said the world felt the loss of Pope Francis, who cared about humanity and had a high sense of fraternity for others.
We express our condolences on the death of Pope Francis. He was a hero who cared deeply about humanity, our spirit goes, and her sense of fraternity for the poor and extraordinary compassion for others. I think the world fears the loss of such a noble hero. May he find peace in both comrades.
Pope Francis died at the age of 88 at his residence in Casa Santa Maria, Vatican. Pope Francis visited Indonesia on the third apostolic journey for the Holy Father of Catholic to Indonesia. He was known as a reformist figure and a symbol of tolerance for religious people. Indonesia Religious Affairs Ministry launches a million tree planting movement to implement eco-theology. Indonesia Ministry of Religious Affairs launched a national movement to plant 1 million trees at Indonesia International Islamic University in Depok, West Java on Tuesday, April 22. Mata tree saplings will be planted at all house of worship, schools, Islamic boarding schools or pesantren, universities, and Hajj dormitories under the ministry's authority. Minister of Religious Affairs Nasaruddin Umar, in his speech, said this movement is a reflection of the ministry's commitment to implementing eco-theology, a concept that integrates religious values and environmental awareness.
Bumi bukan sekedar ruang hidup, tetapi juga cermin kasih sayang Tuhan kepada seluruh makhluknya.
The earth is not merely a space for life, but also a reflection of God's compassion towards all his creation. From this perspective, environmental destruction is a betrayal of God's trust. Therefore, the concept of sin should not be limited to wrong doings against this below human being. Policing, rival, and damaging the environment is also a sin. This is why religion must be present not only in word, written scripture, but also through real action to care for the earth.
The ministry chose to plant metal trees due to the ecological and economical value. Minister Umar added that the initiative launched on the 51st Earth Day called for Indonesia to unite in protecting the planet. During the same event, the ministry also announced the construction of the Istiqlal International Islamic Boarding School on the university campus. This school is envisioned as a center for education that will nurture future global Muslim leaders who are intellectual, tolerant, and care for the environment. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia-China 2+2 dialogue strengthens regional and global strategic coordination. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono visited Beijing, China on Monday, 21st April, to attend the inaugural 2+2 dialogue, alongside Indonesian Defense Minister Syafri Samsuddin, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, and Chinese Defense Minister Dong Zhen. This meeting marked the first ever 2+2 dialogue format held between Indonesia and China, and also the first ministerial level 2+2 dialogue that China has conducted with any partner country. In the dialogue, the minister focused on cooperation in politics, defense, security, as well as regional and global issues of mutual interest.
We discussed ways to improve our comprehensive strategic partnership and strengthen cooperation that can benefit the prosperity of people in both nations.
The 2+2 meeting between Indonesia and China resulted in an agreement to establish a comprehensive strategic dialogue to strengthen bilateral cooperation in 5 main areas: economy, people-to-people relations, maritime affairs, politics, and security. Both countries also agreed to improve cooperation in law enforcement and maritime security, set up a new consultation mechanism on weapons-related issues, and support reforms in the multilateral system through various international forums. Foreign Ministry and UN Women launched Sci-App for Indonesian migrant workers. To improve protection and services for Indonesian migrant workers, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and UN Women have launched a new app called Sci. So how about Artificial Migrant Indonesia or Artificial Stand of Indonesian Migrants? This AI-based system is designed to help with the communication and provide important information for Indonesian migrant workers, especially women who's living abroad. Acting Director General of Protocol and Consular Affairs at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Andy Rahmianto, explained that the launch of Sci completes the ministry's previous 2 digital apps, Portability UNE and Safe Travel. Andy said that the Sci is a strategic step to make the presence of Indonesian government felt through digital services that are empathetic, responsive, and easily accessible for migrant workers around the world.
Kasumi is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasumi is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasumi. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cone to be compacted. The compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called tabete. To make kasumi, initially tabete is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This dough is made from woolen coconut leaves. To steam the tabete, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with tabete flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasumi is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasumis. Kasumi is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processes.
24 hours every day. Sari also understand local languages like Sundanese, Makassaris, and Malay, which are often used by Indonesian migrant workers. Chairperson of Indonesia's National Human Rights Commission highlights the role of women defending human rights. The National Human Rights Commission of Indonesia underscores the crucial role of women in advancing human rights. Also has the details.
The chairperson of the National Human Rights Commission, Abnika Novasijiro, emphasized that women's struggle cannot be separated from the broader fight for human rights. She gave this message during the dynamic of women's rights celebrations or liberations held in Jakarta on Monday. She stated that today women's efforts are not only about fighting for their own rights, but also about defending the rights of others as a part of wider humanitarian struggle. Women's struggle can no longer stop at the effort to fight for our own rights. It must also be extended to defending human rights in general, including the rights of others. So there is a struggle for ourselves, and there is a struggle for the broader cause of human rights. Furthermore, Abnika explained that it is important for Indonesia to understand that anyone who defends basic rights, whether it's labor rights, environmental rights, children's rights, or women's rights, is a human rights defender. When a woman takes on that role, she becomes a woman human rights defender. Malaysia interested in learning and sharing information with Indonesia on disaster mitigation and preparedness efforts. Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Seri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi expressed Malaysia's interest in learning and sharing information related to disaster mitigation and preparedness efforts undertaken by the Indonesian government through the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB. Dora Pandiri has the details.
Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Seri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi expressed his admiration for the disaster preparedness of the Asian Coordinating Center for Humanitarian Assistance, or the AHA Center, and Emergency Operations Center, EOC, of the National Disaster Management Agency. In a press conference after meeting with the head of the National Disaster Management Agency in Jakarta, Monday, Dato' Seri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi also expressed Malaysia's interest in learning and sharing information related to disaster mitigation and preparedness efforts carried out by the Indonesian government through the National Disaster Management Agency, because according to Dato' Seri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, preparedness is important and proactive steps are needed in disaster management.
Kesiapsiagaan ini penting. Kita harus mengambil beberapa langkah proaktif. Preparedness is important. We have to take some proactive steps, and for this natural disaster or catastrophe, we don't know when it will happen, even though we have an early warning system. We have indicators that provide sophistication of information or announcement, but in terms of disaster management, the management of this disaster must be handled with full preparedness.
The Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia further stated that Indonesia has various types of disasters that Malaysia does not have. This certainly encourages the advantages in terms of competence in emergency response that Indonesia has. Therefore, according to Dato' Seri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, Malaysia needs to increase knowledge and training on disaster preparedness from Indonesia. Dora Pandiri for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
That's the news. And coming up next, here is the commentary entitled Indonesia's Wanted Application to Protect Citizens Abroad, to be read by Anand Tejas Kasi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian citizens abroad are spread across five continents, with the largest numbers are in Asia, Asia-Pacific, and the Middle East. Most of them are migrant workers and students. In order to collect, monitor, and maintain the existence of these Indonesian citizens, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has created an application using artificial intelligence, AI, named Sari. Yuda Nugraha, Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, told Voice of Indonesia that the purpose of launching this application is to protect Indonesian citizens abroad, not only related to legal problems that often occur with migrant workers, but also provides data and various important information for those living in other countries. To facilitate the application, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is collaborating with UN Women, the United Nations Agency for Gender Equality and the Empowerment of Women, in the creation and implementation of the Sari application. One of the interesting things about this application is the ability of various regional languages to meet the needs of Indonesian migrant workers abroad. Protection of citizens is an absolute and important thing for every government whose citizens live or work abroad. This is a form of state responsibility in maintaining national assets and also protecting its citizens according to the law. The existence of the Sari application is a form of state responsibility to its citizens. For this reason, the facilitation of this application must be massively distributed to all Indonesian representatives abroad, so that every Indonesian citizen who is in other country knows clearly their rights and obligations. In addition, it is hoped that Indonesian citizens who live abroad will be proactive in filling in their personal data in this newly launched application. of cassava wheat. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then, grated cassava is put in a sack or cooled to be compacted. The compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then, leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called tabete. To make cassava meal, initially tabete is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then, ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This dough is made from woolen coconut leaves. To steam the tabete, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with tabete flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One cassava meal is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 cassava meals. Cassava meal is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Cassava meal is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, cassava meal is also often used as box for tips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Cassava meal can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
I'm
of radio are popular in Indonesia, broadcast in nine language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and live streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: People on People, The Fashion, Indonesian Wonder, Disneyland, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. My name is Ray, and today we're going to learn about the Indonesian alphabet. Let's begin. C, 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 which can be used for Kita, Chocolate, Joanna. Let's continue. D, 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 which can be used for Dano, Dodo, Desa. And that's it for now, and see you in another episode.
Sedikit
by sharing faster data. Happy listening. Official, TikTok, VOI_official. So make sure to stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.